You might expect life at a university to be easier than what enslaved people on plantations went through, but that was not always the case, according to Lewis Nelson, a professor of architectural history at UVA, co-author and editor of Educated in Tyranny.
Being an enslaved person at the University of Virginia was in many ways more complicated because the lines of authority are much more blurred.
Most slaves were owned by so-called hotel keepers, people hired by the university to assure that students were fed, clothed, and cared for. But the young men who attended UVA treated those slaves as their own.
These are individuals who are going to inherit land, inherit laborers, houses. They understand themselves to be rising gentlemen masters.
They often abused campus slaves, according to Pulitzer Prize-winning historian Alan Taylor. He studied the disciplinary records of the university and found students attacking slaves at will.
Mostly they're physical assaults because a student feels that an enslaved person has not responded quickly enough or has responded in a way that the student decides is insolent. And so these young men believe that they had a right to instantly correct, as they put it, which meant physical punishment.
If they caused serious physical harm, Nelson says, hotel keepers might complain. And the university might take action.
There are a few occasions where students are expelled. There are also a few occasions where fathers write in and students are readmitted.
Rape was also a fact of life for female slaves. Taylor's book tells the story of a 16-year-old girl who was sexually assaulted by two sons of wealthy slaveholders. When the boys came down with a sexually transmitted disease, they attacked the girl, beating her up. Her owner, a local tavern keeper, complained. The university scolded the boys and wrote letters to their parents, then fined them $10, a punishment less severe than what the school imposed for mishandling a library book. In his new book, Thomas Jefferson's Education, Taylor says UVA students were not unique in behaving badly.
The principal place of higher education was the College of William and Mary, and it was a very troubled place by drunken, gambling, dueling, roistering students. And it was throughout the newspapers and throughout the debates in the state legislature, what do we do about William and Mary?
Thomas Jefferson's idea was to close that school and fund his university. William and Mary fought back, asking that it be moved to a more exciting city, Richmond. The legislature compromised by allowing the school to stay open in Williamsburg and by designating UVA the primary state school of Virginia. When it was first built, Nelson says, UVA took pains to hide the dirty secrets of slavery. The famous curved walls on campus today are 5 feet tall. But when the school first opened, they went higher.
Those are extensively rebuilt between 1948 and 1952, when the Garden Club of Virginia comes in and installs the beautiful gardens that we experience today. But at 8 feet tall, they do remarkable work separating and possibly even segregating out sound, certainly separating visibility of the alleyways and the workyards behind the landscape of slavery.
His work and that of Alan Taylor also tell us new things about Jefferson and his slaves. The university's founder, for example, may have had a drug problem leading to careless conduct later in life. Those stories in our next report. In Charlottesville, I'm Sandy Houseman.